Good morning, church. How's everyone doing? Doing great. Good. I am doing well. Summer just started at our house. Levi's out of school. Joel is gonna go to daycare for one more week, and then we have both of them. So that's exciting for us. I pray for Carrie and I, because they play so well together. But let me get started with prayer, and then we can get into the Word. Heavenly Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus for today. God, I pray that as I speak, God, I pray that your words come out of my mouth. I pray that everything I say be surrendered to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If you have your Bible, if you could open it to 1 Samuel 16. 1 Samuel 16. And then verse 11. 1 Samuel 16, verse 11. And this is Samuel anoints David as king. And it reads this: Then Samuel asked, "Are these all the sons you have?" "There is still the youngest," Jesse replied, "but he's out in the fields watching the sheep and the goats." "Send for him at once," Samuel said. "We will not sit down to eat until he arrives." So Jesse sent for him. He was dark and handsome, with beautiful eyes. And the Lord said, "This is the anointed. This is the one. Anoint him." So as David stood there among his brothers, Samuel took the flask of olive oil he had brought and anointed David with the oil. And the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David from that day on. Then Samuel returned to Ramah. I'm going to pause right there. As I read this, everyone obviously thinks, oh, he anointed David. And we all know the kind of king that David was. And it's easy to look at the things that he's done and the things that he accomplished, the movies that were made of him, specifically the most recent animated one. That's Levi's favorite movie. Joel loves the soundtrack. It's actually on repeat in my car constantly. I know those songs by heart. Every time Phil Wickham comes on the radio, Levi thinks it's David. So he's like, "Oh, David's on the radio." I'm like, "That's Phil Wickham, honey." But it's easy to get lost on everything David accomplished, but not realize where David came from. David was the youngest. David was the one that was forgotten, the one that was set aside, not really looked at. So my message for this Sunday is called, "There is oil on the ordinary." Church, we live in a world that celebrates what's impressive. Where people admire talent, influence, popularity, the platform that someone carries, or even the status that you walk with. That's the world we live in. And because of that, many people quietly start believing, "I'm not gifted enough. I'm too ordinary. I don't have what it takes. God can never use someone like me." But when we study the scripture and really notice the people that God uses, we start recognizing a pattern. You begin to notice something so powerful. We begin to notice God has always specialized in using ordinary people to accomplish his extraordinary purpose. Throughout the Bible, God places his hand not just on kings in palaces, but on shepherds in the fields, on fishermen, on the boats, and overlooked people that nobody expected to accomplish anything. Because God loves putting oil on the ordinary. Oil in the Bible represents the anointing, the purpose, the consecration, and the presence of God. And today, I want us to understand this specific truth. God is not looking for the most impressive person. He is looking for the one that is the most surrendered. God wants to use the man or woman or child who is the most surrendered to Him. He's not looking for status. He's not looking for platform. He's not looking for a name. He's looking for the one who is willing to do His work. So my first point is this. God calls ordinary people. When Samuel came to Jesse's house to anoint the next king, everyone assumed it would be one of David's older brothers, but it wasn't. They all looked strong. They all looked qualified. In the movie that Levi saw, one of them was even in Saul's army. Looked super jacked. I was like, that guy should be king when I saw that movie. I was like, he chose David? That guy should be king. While everyone else stood before that prophet, David was out in the field taking care of the sheep. Forgotten, overlooked, and unnoticed. But then God says, men looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. And Samuel pours oil in David's head. The oil didn't go to the obvious choice, which was that Jack brother in that movie. But the oil went to the overlooked one. And I think it's hilarious that in the scriptures, as I read them in the NLT, he is the youngest and they have to justify, like it feels like they have to justify why they anointed David. They have to say he was dark and handsome with beautiful eyes. They had to put that in there just to make sure that, like, hey, he has something going for him. God has a history of choosing ordinary people. Moses was insecure. Peter was very impulsive. Matthew was rejected. And David was forgotten. Yet God used all of them powerfully. 1 Corinthians 1:27 says this. God chooses the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. Have you ever felt like everybody in the room is doing better than you? I feel that constantly. I see maybe it's because maybe you see someone and you're like, oh wow, their job is better. They may be doing something better on their own, on their team, or they may be doing something better in ministry. And that literally starts killing me. But that's the lie that the enemy wants to feed me. He wants me to feel overlooked. And to be honest, if we feel overlooked, we can start questioning our own values. We start asking ourselves, did they forget about me? Am I not good enough? Do I even matter? If I show up, do I even matter? And that's exactly where David was at that moment. When Samuel came to Jesse's house to anoint the next king, Jesse brought every son except David. Think about that. David wasn't forgotten or overlooked by strangers. He was overlooked by his own family. His own family didn't think he would be the one to be anointed king. While everyone else stood in front of the prophet, David was in the field taking care of sheep. He was dirty, he was sweaty, doing ordinary work. But what nobody realized was this. Heaven had already marked David before people recognized him. And some of you need to hear that today. Just because people overlook you doesn't mean that God overlooked you. Just because you feel like you're not in the place that you need to be doesn't necessarily mean that you're not in the place where God wants you to be. People may not see your faithfulness. People may not see your sacrifice. People may not see your heart. But God does. And when the timing was right, Samuel looked at Jesse and said, "Do you have another son?" Let me make sure I say this because I feel like this is very key that you need to hear. When the timing was right, Samuel asked Jesse, "Do you have another son?" Because the oil that Samuel had was designed for David and was looking for David. Being overlooked by people does not disqualify you from being chosen by God. God knows where to find you, even when nobody else sees you. Yeah, amen, dude. The field may hide you. In the field may be people. But the field can never hide you from God. God knows exactly where you are. In this season, if you feel like you are hidden, if you feel like you are forgotten, this story is proof that the Lord is preparing something for you. And He sees you where you are right now. This is my second point. The oil changes everything. David looked ordinary before the oil, but after the oil, something changed. The oil represented the anointing of his presence, of the presence of God within him. And although David still looked the same, and he went back to the field to go shepherd his sheep, something drastically changed. He had been marked by God. The oil did not make an instant change in David. It didn't make him instantly king just because he was anointed by Samuel. He still faced battles, rejections. He still was in the wilderness for a season. He was still waiting, but now he carried purpose. Because when God places his hand on your life, you can't see yourself the same way anymore. You may be still in the same circumstance, but the moment God places his hand on your life, you have a purpose. David didn't become king immediately. He still had to go through those hardships. He still had to be patient. He still had to wait for the right timing. And that's the important thing to recognize as Christians. We need to wait for the right timing. I remember myself, the day that the Lord set me apart, set me aside. I remember it like it was yesterday, or it just happened this morning. I will share with you because I feel like I need to. I'm very vulnerable in this moment. So please feel free to laugh. But I was working as a traffic control for Christ Chapel Academy for the school. And during that, it's pretty easy. You just stand in front of the church as people are coming in. You set up cones and you just make sure they turn left instead of right. So you're like, go this way. This is the entrance. You're there for like 40 minutes just waiting for parents to drop off their kids. And I was a relatively new Christian at that time with many questions. And the main question that a lot of Christians ask is, what is my purpose? What is my calling? I had no idea what anything meant. I thought, I had no idea what an apostle was. I had no idea what a pastor was. I had no idea what a prophet was. I had no idea what a teacher was. I had no idea what an evangelist or anything was. I just knew people used those terms to describe people that did the work of the Lord. So as I was there, I took that time to pray. They didn't like me wearing headphones to listen to worship music. I still did it anyways. And I worshiped the Lord and I prayed. And as I was praying, I remember the prayer exactly. I said, Lord, What do you want me to do? I want to be like your disciples were. I want to be like John. I want to be like Peter. I want to be like David. I need to know who I am so that I can serve you effectively. And the Lord said to me something so clear that I still hear it to this day. And every time I doubt myself, I just remember this thing that he said to me. He said, just listen. He said, those people knew who they were because they listened to me. Don't look for a calling. Don't look for a title. Take one step at a time. If I tell you to step forward one step, you step forward one step. If I tell you to turn left, you turn left. If I tell you to turn right, you turn right. Because people will give you the title, but I will give you the reason. Paul was an apostle, yes, because he governed and he helped churches. But at one point, he was a pastor to those churches. He said, the people will assign to you what you are to them. But I will tell you what to be for your people. So whenever I have doubt about myself, I just remember that. I am not listening to a calling per se of a pastor or an apostle or anything like that. I am walking in the calling that the Lord tells me to do, which is he tells me to step forward, I step forward. If he tells me to go here, I go there. If he tells me to say a word, I will say that word however he wants me to say it. And whatever people call me, they will call me. But I only did this and I only do that because oil changes everything. Oil changes everything. Because when we spend so much time comparing ourselves to other people and seeing that, oh, maybe we don't preach like them, I don't sing like them, I don't know enough scripture, I'm too broken or I'm too ordinary. Just remember that. You're not trying to impress the world. You're not trying to go after a calling. You are trying to go after what the Lord tells you to do. God has never needed perfection to release purpose. And by all means, I was in the most imperfect person. Still am at that moment. Like I'm playing with keys because I'm so imperfect. Sometimes the moment hits you in the ordinary setting, like it did for me. The moment the Lord released that truth to me, I started crying, and I don't even know why. I started ugly crying. I was tearing up so much during that moment when he told me, just listen to me and don't worry about everybody else. And I don't know why that was such a, it's obvious now because 2 + 2 = 4. But for me at that moment as a new baby Christian, it was such a revelation of truth that I started crying right there in the open parking lot as people were driving past me. I would see kids like pointing at me, why is that weird person crying? And I was just so enamored and so in love with God at that moment. I wasn't even pretty crying, I was ugly crying. There was snot coming out of me because it was winter. And I was just straight crying, freezing with gloves, a hat, everything on, just on the floor. My supervisor came out, they were like, why are you on the ground? I was just like, God. And he was like, oh, okay. And he just walked away looking at me weird. But I will remember that day as the day that I stopped caring about men and I started caring about God. Because God begins to reveal real purpose. When God begins to reveal real purpose, nothing may immediately change around you. But something definitely changes inside you. You start seeing life differently. You start seeing that your pain has a purpose, that everything you start suffering through has a purpose, that your story has value, and that your obedience matters. And that's what happened with David. One moment he was simply a shepherd boy. The next moment he was being oiled and having and being given purpose because he was to become king. David, when he was being anointed, still probably smelled like sheep, and they don't smell great. He looked so ordinary. But heaven saw a king. And some people in this room need to hear this. God sees more than you currently see in yourself. God sees more in you than you currently see in yourself. Those sheep smell so bad. And I know this because Carrie one time got an Airbnb in a little farm and she thought it would be cute and it stunk. Joel got pink eye. It was gross. We left early. So I know for a fact David stank. But the moment God calls you, your identity becomes bigger than your insecurity. You may feel ordinary today, but ordinary is exactly where God loves to place his oil. The oil doesn't make you perfect, but it marks you for a purpose. You may still look ordinary to people, but heaven recognizes what God has touched. The anointing in you is not about appearance, but it's about assignment. Oil changes how you see yourself because now you belong to God's purpose. And isn't that amazing? The moment after that day, I kid you not, someone asked me to go speak at their youth group. I never wrote a message in my life before. I never wrote a paper before, I wrote papers because I went to school. But I never wrote a paper with the intention of giving a message. And I remember, and this is what I mean by this, the oil changes how you see, not changes how you see yourself because now you have God's purpose with you. This is so true because I wrote my first message ever. And as I wrote it, I said, I'm going to practice. I'm going to share. My girlfriend at the time was in ROTC in UVA. She was going into the Navy to be an officer. So I FaceTimed her and then I read her my message. And as I was reading my message, none of the things that I wrote, I started preaching. Nothing that I said was in that paper. But she started crying her eyes out. Because the Lord, at that moment, I felt the presence of God fall upon me so deeply that I was just speaking what he wanted me to speak. I was listening to him. If he told me to say thee, I would say thee. If he told me to say love, I would say love. Everything that I would say, he came directly from him. And then she started pouring, crying. And then after I finished my message, she was just like, how did you know what to say? Because I know for a fact your vocabulary is not that expansive. I said, I don't know. I'm going to share something with you. I wrote none of that. She was like, you did amazing. People will recognize the anointing that you have. Because when God gives you a purpose, everything else falls off of you. Every insecurity falls off of you. So this is my third point. God develops you in the hidden places. David received the oil, but he did not immediately receive the throne. After the anointing came, the hidden season came. He went back to the sheep. He went back to obscurity. He went back to an ordinary life. Ordinary. And that's important because many people think that when the moment you get the oil, that's it. The moment you get anointed. That's it. You're going. You're out, and you're supposed to be doing God's work. But no, that's not sometimes how the process goes. David didn't immediately become king. He had to wait for the right timing. He had to serve under Saul. And he learned things from Saul. He learned some things to do, some things what not to do. And that's important for all of us. Just because we have the anointing doesn't necessarily mean that we are set to be released. Hidden seasons are not wasted seasons. God develops character before he develops influence. He develops faithfulness before he develops platforms. He develops integrity before he develops visibility. We want the instant spotlight, but God wants the deep roots. Even Jesus spent 30 years hidden before he spent 3 years in public. Because God cares more about who you are becoming than the person people start noticing. Isn't it crazy? The reason why the hidden season is so important is because as you are developing yourself, you are building the foundation in which you are going to speak. This is why sometimes we see pastors that have huge moral failures. Because the spotlight comes too quick. The Lord wants to develop the integrity before he develops the visibility. So what's important is waiting on God's timing. One of the hardest things to do as believers is wait. Isn't it? When God tells you, hey, this is going to happen for you, and you're like, okay, and then you wait. And then you think, oh, it'll be next week. It's not. You think, oh, maybe it's in a couple months. It's not. Maybe it's next year. It's not sometimes. We wait. Waiting is the hardest thing. We just have to stand firm in the fact that he has given us a promise. But waiting is hard. Because most of us are okay with God giving us a promise, but we just don't like the process that comes with it. We don't like the fact that we have to stay faithful. There are seasons where you know God has spoken to you. You know he placed something in your heart, and you know he has called you to do more. But then nothing happens. Day turns into months. Months turn into years. And you start wondering, God, why did I hear you? Why did I hear you wrong? That's where David found himself. David was anointed to be king as a teenager. And the oil was poured over his head. And the prophetic word was spoken over his life. But after the anointing, he went right back to the field thinking about how confusing. Think about it. How confusing must that have been? You were anointed to be king as a teenager, and then you go back to hurt, like taking care of the sheep. You go back to smelling like crap. You go back to fighting lions and bears to protect these sheep. God, if you call me, why am I still here? Why does my situation still look ordinary? We ask ourselves. And maybe you felt that way too. You've prayed, you stayed faithful, you obeyed God. But you still feel stuck in the waiting season. But what David didn't realize was this. The waiting season was preparation, not punishment. Because before David could handle the crown, he needed character. Before he could lead people, he needed faithfulness. God was developing patience, trust, humility, independence in David. He was doing that for me as well. God's delays are not God's denials. Waiting does not mean God's absence. The process is preparing you for the promise. If God gave you the promise immediately, you might miss the person He's trying to make you become. And maybe today you feel like you're stuck. But don't lose heart. Because sometimes the field is where the Lord prepares a king. Church, don't mistake hiddenness for abandonment. So in closing, if you feel ordinary, if you feel unseen, if you feel overlooked or unqualified, know that throughout Scripture, God uses those exact same people. He loves using the ordinary to perform the extraordinary. He loves anointing the normal people to achieve amazing things in His kingdom. I am so grateful that I am normal. I am so grateful that if I walk into a room, people don't know anything about me or don't assume anything about me. Because I want God to shine through me more and more. Don't confuse ordinary beginnings with insignificant destiny. The oil of God has never been reserved for perfect people. It has always been poured out onto people who fully surrender to Him. God still puts oil on the ordinary. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You in the name of Jesus for Your church. God, I pray that our hearts fully surrender to You and You alone, so that we may be able to surrender fully. Lord, thank You for choosing ordinary people. Thank You that You see purpose where others see weaknesses. God, I pray that You put fresh oil in our lives and You teach us to stay faithful in the hidden seasons. Use us for Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.